out today. We're reaching into the heart, into the head, into the soul. We're putting the stethoscope on you and see if it's how your spiritual temperature is, right?
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Patrick Doyle's with us. He's a local area counselor as well in private practice. The number to his office is 301-5500. Hey, quickly, you're expanding.
Yes, I am.
And you're adding staff because yes. of your popularity on this radio station.
Correct.
Nobody's ever called me for a reference. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's the guy I'm hiring, I found through you, so come on.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Got a new man, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the deal?
Well, I'm moving my office to a new location in September, beginning of September, first week of September.
We'll announce the location later once you get all settled in.
Yeah, exactly. And I hired an office manager and I hired one counselor. Full-time, and I'm going to be adding a second.
Wow.
So a lot of my historic problems with overwhelmed phone and no time to make phone calls and do all that stuff is going to be over in just a short couple weeks.
Well, I think it's a testimony of what's happening through the dove.
It is, definitely.
In the sense that you're hitting a nerve and you're reaching out, helping people. One of my heartbeats has been is how do we do more of that?
Right.
And we're not here to replace the church. We're here to augment what the church is doing.
Absolutely.
But so often people, you know, and I say this very openly, and I tell pastors all the time, I said, I know more about you than you think I do because I hear from your people.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not that the church or the pastor's a problem. It's that people are not comfortable going to their pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see him as a counselor. They see him as a preacher and a teacher.
Right.
In the meantime, their lives are falling apart and they need help.
Yeah. And, you know, gosh knows, I love the church.
Yeah.
And I want desperately to help her grow and be strong and effective and salt and light.
Right.
And I really see what I do as a ministry disguised as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am thrilled to see what God, and I say this very clearly, what God is doing and making this happen. And this expansion is really, you know, I've been dragging my feet.
How well I know. I think people thought your number was just a number. It just rang. It didn't go anywhere. It just rang.
No.
The worst thing you could have done was pick it up.
God has been convicting me to do it and take the risk for a while. But, you know, as a lot of things, I'm sometimes slow on the take on that stuff.
I think it's just wonderful. And we're praying for you. And
good. Appreciate that.
You know our vision and our vision together.
Yeah.
And this is part of it. This is kind of a staging process.
It is.
And this is wonderful.
It actually is definitely part of what will eventually happen, I think, with the Dove and my involvement there. This is building really the infrastructure to handle that.
This is wonderful. Anyway, so his number there is 301-5500. Give him a couple weeks, and he'll be in full expanded mode with some more help and very godly people. I know that, you know, it's hard to find like-minded people.
It is.
You can hire a bunch of counselors.
That's
out,
right.
But your philosophy, your approach to this is the reason you're on the air.
Exactly. And I'm not willing to just take anybody on, particularly people who I'm going to refer people to. I have to be very confident that that whoever goes to them is going to get godly counsel, not psychological spin or somebody's going to be willing to get neck deep in their problems and walk them all the way through it.
Or psychobabble that's been Christianized.
Exactly. Yeah. Not interested in that either. Yeah. And so this is really what we really endeavor to do is good biblical eldering.
I know your heart is to get the people dependent on God as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And help them. What I found over time is that a lot of what I do is help people understand who he is. There's a lot of confusion, actually, about who God is. People in their hearts, in their minds, they might have the right answers, but in their hearts, it's a different story. And it reveals itself in how they live or don't live. You know, where we say, really, we believe this, and then we act a total different way.
Yeah, that has been a struggle for all of us.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
we struggle with the intimacy of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear the scripture, he knows the number of hair on your head.
That's right.
And you go, if he knows that much detail, and he knows what's in your heart before it comes out of your mouth. And then you go to Jeremiah 1, where he knew you before.
Right.
you were ever conceived
right.
in your mother's womb.
That's right.
And then while you were in your mother's womb,
He hand-knit you together.
He separated you. He anointed right. you for a work.
Right.
That's long before you ever popped out and came out, and here I am.
Right.
You know, so we struggle with that intimacy.
Yeah, we struggle with receiving that amazing, unbelievable, incalculable love.
Mm-hmm.
We are so undeserving.
Yeah. Let's go to the topic today. We may have to do...
A month of shows.
Oh. I have learned that in this culture with technology,
yeah.
it has speeded us up so fast.
Man, yeah.
We have no patience.
Mm-hmm.
And I am guilty of this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to actually talk myself
off the cliff
down. Okay. I tell you how bad no patience has become in some people that I work with.
Right.
Once they make a plan to go somewhere.
mm-hmm.
They're hurried to get. They have no patience to get there. But once they get there,
mm-hmm.
and they get the fix, now they have no patience to come home.
Mm. And
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always
a hurry for everything.
It's a hurry for everything. You mm-hmm. never enjoy the moment. You mm-hmm. never enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm.
You buy this lie that mm-hmm. something else is dangling out there that's better, and tomorrow you're going to go for it.
Right.
And you never enjoy today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think once you get grandkids in your life, whoa, it really changes things. It really does.
Does it slow you down?
Oh, well, it just, yeah, you know, you realize that, well, what you didn't do with your kids, you're going to do with these kids.
Yeah. You're too busy mm-hmm. the first time around, right?
I don't know why God gives you kids in the middle of your career building. But that's just the way it is.
to keep you from working 24 hours a day.
I don't know what it is, you know. But anyway, so, how do we deal with patience? Give it to me now, will you?
I want to. I love a line from one of my favorite bands that said, "Patience is a virtue, but she won't always wait."
Yeah, well.
So I wanted to read a scripture out of Romans 5. It says this: we continue to shout out praise even when hemmed in with troubles. Anybody relate to being hemmed in with troubles?
Keep reading.
Okay.
I don't have patience for
okay.
that.
Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us.
Ooh. Romans 5,
I don't know. I don't have verse numbers.
What are you reading out of the
message?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Romans 5, first paragraph there, second paragraph, but I love how he says that it develops passionate patience in us. Think about that for a second. Passionate patience. Have you ever been passionately patient about something?
Passionately impatient?
That I've got wired. I know
yeah.
how to do that.
But passionately patient?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So he's saying this is what we are passionately patient because we know how that patience is turned in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, which is really part of God's goal with us, right? To bring about virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. An alert expectancy such as this we're never left feeling shortchanged, which is one of the reasons why people are impatient. They feel shortchanged. It's not going their way.
Hmm.
Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
So I wanted to talk about this idea of passionate patience.
I found that scripture. Let me read it to
okay.
you
in an authorized version.
Well, let's don't open that door.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Anyway, it says, therefore, having been justified by Christ, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation.
Yep.
Or tribulations,
mm-hmm.
plural, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance.
Uh huh.
And perseverance, character.
Mm-hmm.
And character, hope.
Yep.
Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit
right.
who was given to us.
Right. So if you read that, it becomes quite clear. In particular, if you read the first four chapters preceding this, it's abundantly clear what Paul has been saying, which is that, hey, the initiative and the power of this reality in your life has nothing to do with you. You, at best, are only the recipient of what God is doing by His Holy Spirit. Now, this gets right into the patient's wheelhouse because I can't control him. And he doesn't work on my time schedule. And he doesn't do it necessarily my way.
Hmm.
Now, if I'm not in a position where I see him as good, now I know that people will say, oh, God is good. But they're really disgruntled when things don't go their way. Well, because they don't agree that what God is doing is okay. Even if it's, like it says here, hemmed in with troubles. We're still shouting praise when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know He's going to turn it into something good. He's not going to let it be unredeemed. He doesn't do anything to harm us for the sake of His own capricious, you know, idiocy. He only does what is good. And when He brings trouble, or when He takes the trouble that other people bring, He's going to turn that into something good for us. There's no way any of us would develop patience left to ourselves.
Now, that really flies in the theology of some modern-day theologians.
Absolutely.
Because the devil gets blamed for all that stuff.
Yeah, well, and if you read again, you read the rest of Romans, Romans 7, where Paul says, I don't do the things I wish, and I do the things that I don't want to do. Excuse me, he doesn't lay the blame at the feet of Satan. He lays the blame at the feet of sin. And then Galatians 5 makes it very clear. The deeds of the flesh are obvious. That stuff dwells within us. We don't need any help to be dark.
No, it's true.
I never taught my kids how to lie. But I figured it out.
Yeah. Or to be stubborn.
Yeah, exactly. Or to be, you know, disobedient. I never taught them that. I was working really hard the other way. So God wants to develop in you patience. Why? Because patience is really an evidence of trust.
I would say that patience is patience is got to be the biggest enemy of our day because everything's moving so fast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our research shows now that if somebody is not fulfilled within 5 seconds of bringing your website up, they're gone. Now, we're talking people below the age of 45.
Right.
But think about it. Your children are now raised in an atmosphere, click result, click result, click result,
mm-hmm.
of mouses in their hands and remotes in their hands. You push a button, something happens.
Right.
And then here comes God with life issues and says, now, I'm going to teach you to slow down.
Right.
I'm
going
to teach
God.
You the patience.
Yeah. He's like,
yeah.
Yeah, to us, it seems like it's in slow motion. But here's the thing. Your patience in God is an evidence that you trust Him. So this is one of the things I want to ask folks. If you're impatient, it really, to me, is a sign that you're not trusting God.
Is worry a product of impatience?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Worry is all about who's in charge of the outcome. I'm worried about the outcome because I don't believe God is good. If I believe God is good, even if it's painful, I know He's going to work it out. I can't tell you how many times in my life this has come true. I have been freaked out by something, thinking for sure the world is coming to an end, and sure enough, what happens? God reveals Himself. God comes through. God takes care of things, and it works in a way that I never could have expected. I am living proof that God works all things together for good. I wouldn't be sitting here if it weren't for Him. There's no way. I have contributed one thing to my relationship with God. Resistance. That's my only contribution. God says, hey, I want you to do this. I'm like, got my heels dug in, got my hands out. I'm not going over there, no way.
I think what happens also, lately has been reminded of the scripture where it says He'll restore with the locust and the canker worm have taken away. So if you run that forward, you fast forward that, those little pests ate up a harvest.
Yeah.
That took a lot of months to put the seed in the ground, prepare the ground, put the seed in the ground, water, get it up, and then here comes the bugs and they ate it all.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of time you would think has been wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, I will restore that.
That's right. And he is the only one who has the power, not me, not you, not anyone. He's the only one that has the power to bring about that restoration. God is the only one who has the power to take the evil that was intended to me by some evil person in my life and turn it into my good. Now, apart from God being involved, it's just needless suffering. If God doesn't involve himself, there's no redemption. He's the only one capable of redemption. We don't have that ability. Our ability, we were left to ourselves, we're going to do more self-destruction. We're going to do more injustice. We're going to do more sin. It's only by the invasion of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit for the conviction of sin and righteousness and as a comforter. Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there is no real redemptive change.
How do you go to bed at night when the day seems to be wasted and feel productive?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, again, this gets back to something that I really strongly believe about how we are to view the outcome. Jesus said, all you that are weary and heavy laden, come to me. And if you go to church enough and do all the right things and accomplish all the tasks that I give you, I'll give you rest. That's not what he said. What he said is, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So rest isn't even something we can get without him. He's got to give us that. He says, take my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy. What's the implication? Unlike the one you're carrying, which is about to kill you, which has got you weary and heavy laden. And so here's the deal. If you're feeling weary and heavy laden, it's because you got the wrong yoke on. He said, take my yoke upon you. It is light and easy. What is his yoke? He said this, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's his yoke. Now, if you see God as unloving, distant, disengaged, capricious, mean, unjust, distant, it's not going to be easy. That's not a yoke that's going to be easy. If you see God as loving and kind and gracious and merciful and good and just, that's an easy yoke. You know somebody like that, it's easy to love them. It's easy to respond to the way they've loved you. If you don't have that kind of responsive love with God, that yoke is not going to be easy.
I don't know if we really understand or how we would take inventory to understand that impatience has really taken its toll on us.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to people, you do too,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell within a few moments that they're really caught up in the speed of things because they can't complete a sentence without changing the subject.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you remind me of something. You know, those that wait upon the Lord
will renew their strength.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How simple is that?
Well, wait certainly suggests patience. leave it to you to bring up a riveting word. Oh man!
So you know it's an unavoidable.
Hurry up! Wait, I gotta get it.
It's an unavoidable reality we have in our lives. God requires waiting. It's all through the scriptures. Jesus himself went away to a quiet place, and I might sound like a broken record, but I probably will to the day I die because I believe so strongly in it. You have got to get into a quiet place and take these cares and concerns before God honestly, not with the sanitizer on them. Take it in there honestly, because I think he already knows what you're thinking before you say it. So you're only lying to him when you try to say it nicely, and he already knows what you were thinking. So be honest with him, because remember, intimacy is the result of vulnerability and risk. You must be vulnerable with God. Now, you're not going to be informing God of anything. It's not a news flash to him. He already knows. What's important is that I'm taking the risk of being honest vocally in front of him as an exercise of faith and trust that he's not going to clobber me, that he's not going to leave me or run away, that it's the right place for me to go. And in faith, I'm going to walk in there and say, here it is, God. And then I'm going to listen. Now, here's where it
gets... Now, we're not talking about the escaping of wrongdoing.
No. All we're right. talking about taking our cares and concerns before yeah. God like we're commanded to in Scripture. And we take them there. And what we need to do is after we get it out, and I would really suggest to you folks out there listening that you, when you do this, you say things out loud to God. Say it out loud.
From the gut.
From the gut. Out loud. No editing. Just let it fly. And then after you get it out, whether it's stomping, tears, you know, rolling on the floor, whatever, it's time to listen. And what we need more than anything else from God is not for him to hear us as much as it is for us to hear him. If God etches himself into my soul by speaking a truth from his word to me, he applies it to me in a way that I absolutely deeply understand. He's not going to ever say anything that's not already in his word. He's already said everything he's going to say. So it's not going to be some new, you know, thing. He's going to apply a truth to you that you're going to be indelibly imprinted with.
Do you ever express to God your anger with him?
Well, I've said it before. If somebody saw me in my quiet place mm-hmm. talking to God, they would be like, can you do that? And are you allowed to say that to God?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, evidently I'm not dead yet, you
yeah.
know?
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, because the truth is, God already knows what I'm feeling, so why should I be so pretentious as to hide it from him? That doesn't inspire me to trust him. It's like I'm going to him and putting on this show or this front. He's not fooled. He's God of the universe.
Yeah.
So patience is, I believe, one of the ways it's developed and strengthened, and I believe Romans 5 is getting to this. When I wait on God and I listen, and there's many examples of this in Psalms where David said, I waited and I waited and I waited. Finally, he listened. At last, he looked. Psalm 40. It's all through the Scripture. God's people have to wait.
I heard a sermon one time from one of my many favorite black preachers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got a...
And he gets down and he had two books in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And he walked down the altar and he threw one on one end of the altar. And he said, between that prayer, and then he walked across the altar and he threw another book down. Uh-huh. And that answer, uh-huh. that's where God makes the saint.
Uh-huh. I think that's really true.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the most important piece of waiting is that you will develop an intimacy and a depth of trust with God that will sustain you no matter what the circumstances. And that is the goal, is that intimacy with the Almighty.
Patrick Doyle Counseling, 301-5500, expanding his practice to handle all of the requests for more help. And hopefully in a couple of weeks, we can't wait to announce we haven't got the patience.
Yeah. We're going to work at it.
To where your new location will be and everything. All
you
this
bet.
Is part of the staging here. So, hey, bless you, pal. See you
next
time.
Okay. You bet.